Hello there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. I'm so happy that you're here and want to congratulate you and thank you for saying yes to the possibility of attracting the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I don't want to just have you get a guy, but rather I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. I'm very passionate about helping single women who want to meet and attract your right guy because of my own journey of meeting and attracting my own Mr. Right and becoming an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. I just want to assure you that you're in the right place if you're tired of wondering why you're still single, sick of feeling alone or lonely, disappointed about the men you're meeting, frustrated about how past relationships have gone for you, wondering what is holding you back or standing in the way of you having the relationship of your dreams, or wondering if your right guy even exists out there. Finally, you're in the right place if you're really ready to meet and attract the right guy for you. This virtual gathering is designed to help you see what is possible, to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to the right guy as we begin 2014. I'm thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help you meet and attract your own right guy. I'm thrilled and honored to interview our guest today. I'm a longtime fan of his work, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from distractions. It's my privilege to introduce and interview our wonderful guest, Adam Gillard. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, hi. I'm still dancing from that intro music, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. So just a little bit about Adam before we get started today. Adam Gillard has spent the last 8 years leading both men and women into robust, fearless dating and intimate lives. Adam is a unique dating and communication expert, melding his expertise teaching writing, critical thought, and communication skills at Stanford University, owning and hosting National Lampoon Radio, crafting movie scripts as an Emmy-nominated executive producer and screenwriter, creating in some a devastatingly effective and profoundly inspiring approach to dating, conscious sexuality, and grown-up relationships. Adam is the author of several programs for men, including The Boldness Code, Instant Confidence with Women, Deep Online Attraction, Deep Erotic Mastery, and How to Make Her Your Dream Lover, and The Right Man Online, Intimacy University, and Make Him Your Dream Lover for Women. Adam is ferocious in teaching men and women to release their masks, open to love even when it hurts, and to serve their highest goals boldly and fiercely and tenderly while breath is available. In short, how to live an inspiring life by choice rather than by habit, by random culture, or by inertia. I love that, Adam. I love that is your mission in life. That's beautiful.
So, thank you. Each part really counts.
Yeah, each part really counts. And I, you know, it almost took my breath away when I said, you know, while breath is still available, because, you know, life is precious. And it's not
as now you know why I help people. I was saying, now you know why I help people write such great profiles.
Yeah, exactly. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Very well said. So our topic of conversation today is the 8 red flags and 8 green flags you need to know and how to filter for them quickly. And I'm really excited about having Adam's point of view because we have mainly female contributors to the Telesummit, and I'm really excited for Adam to give us a little bit of extra insight into what's going on in the mind of the men out there and help us to recognize how to recognize those red flags and green flags of a high-quality man. And before we get started, though, Adam, into our main content today, I wonder if you can just share a little bit more about your own journey and how you've come to do the work that you do to help men and women have healthy and passionate relationships.
Thank you so much. First of all, thank you for having me here, and hi, everybody. How did I get into this crazy field? Necessity. My passion for helping men and women came from the necessity, it's a mother invention. I had to help myself. I was married at 23, very happily for a while, and very loyal husband and father for 17 years. And, we got married very young, and, we really wanted very different kinds of lives. But it was a very peaceful sort of split. But I found myself at 39, never having flirted, never having been to a bar, for example. I didn't even flirt. And I taught poetry at university. And believe me, those little 18-year-old type A girls who came to Stanford who never had someone shout at them, write me something emotionally that means something to you. I'm not going to read it. They all fell in love with me.
I have no doubt they had stars in their eyes.
It wasn't part of my world. Some of them did, yeah. And I remember some of the faces very well, but it was not part of my world. I was very, very loyal and had a very, very tight family. And so I found myself 39 not knowing how to do anything, really. I still felt married. I felt very beaten up by the marriage. I felt that I had failed in life, really, because my family was everything to me.
Oh.
And I was broke at the time. My movies all fell through, and I was sort of staring out at the world going, hey, what happened? Life was really easy and fun there for a while. And I didn't feel like I had much to say in any kind of a, social situation to women. I didn't even know where to meet them. I'd never been to a bar. And so then someone told me about online dating, and I had never heard of online dating. And I said, I can write to them? I can write. I'm an award-winning writer, taught poetry, and I understand language, and I also understand men and women. I did a lot of research at university and beyond on sort of male-female dynamics, comparative neurobiology. And, of course, I had the whole canon of, Western poetry in my head and some understanding there. So I started writing profiles, and all these amazing women were writing to me, and it was amazing. It got me out of my funk. And my friends all started asking. I said, every time I see you, you're with some beautiful, brilliant woman. I said, I know. There's this thing called online dating. If you put up a profile, all these women write to you. And they would say, no, they don't. They don't write to me at all. And I said, well, let me see your profile. And I said, well, you don't know how to talk to a woman. Men were talking to men. They were listing their accomplishments, which is how men actually speak to each other. And this is the beginning of what I'd love to get across today. Men and women process language differently. We have different language centers. You have five, we have one. We also process love differently, and we'll get to that with the green flags and red flags. But in terms of how we communicate ourselves, for 99% of our evolution, men were hunting, which means they were quiet, and they only shared information that was necessary, which is why men generally don't talk so much about their emotions. Now, we're evolving now quickly, but it's not as natural for men, and it's important to know that so that you don't get angry at them. I have a phrase I use called the pathetic, the compassionate pathetic. We have to be compassionate for what the other gender is pathetic at. So, for example, women don't have spatial sense the way that men do because you're spending all your history hunting. So men generally have a great spatial sense, and men who are unenlightened to this knowledge will get angry at their wives or women for not being able to remember directions or tell directions. But there's a reason. Our brains are different. You happen to be better at language. So men, in their profiles, do what I call the garage sale profile, where they dump knowledge. That's how men communicate. They pass on information that matters. Like, where's the mastodon? It's 50 feet ahead to the left, okay? So their profiles are basically mastodon profiles. They're like, okay, I'm a lawyer. I scuba dive. I've been to 14 countries.
Oops, we're back. Adam, you still there?
Sorry about that. We dropped off. I'm in the tropics, and there was an electrical storm. But I'm back and happy to keep going. Okay, so I was talking about how men write their profiles. They lay out their information, their data, like a like a resume or like a, I call it the garage sale profile because they just lay everything out on the lawn and say, this is who I am. And there's no communication of their character. There's no communication of how they love or who they love or how they've become who they are or what their vision of the future is or why they're looking for a partner, really, other than the common cliches of partner in crime and God knows what. So it's meaningless. So women read these profiles and they're heartbroken because they can't find the real man inside. And so women make very bad choices online, and I'll show you how not to do that. because they go, you know, by how they look, or they both like the same movie or play tennis or some nonsense, you know, some characteristic, instead of getting to men's character. So I teach men how to communicate their character, among some other things, so that women can actually feel who they really are. Now I wrote my first book, I think I mentioned, when I was writing a movie for Disney. I kind of wrote it on a whim, but I had really researched this because I kept very meticulous notes of what women responded to in my profiles and when I changed this and that and this phrase or this kind of languaging or this kind of vision or this kind of description, how the responses would change. So I had a lot of research. And then, of course, I wrote one for women because men have the same problem. Just as women look at men's profiles and feel left cold often because the information is so cold, men look at women's profiles, and this is what they see. So I'm going to interpret your profiles generally until you learn how to write them, where I keep them. Most women's profiles sound exactly like this to men. I love my family. I love my friends. Here's a picture of my cat. Okay? That is what it sounds like. And, you know, it falls deaf on men's ears because there's nothing in it for them. And I'll explain that in a second. The thing is that women are writing something very profound. It's just not in a language that men can hear. What women are saying is, love is the core of my life, which actually is something men want to hear. But they want to hear it in the language that means something to them. So I'll explain what that means. Should I do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So one of my favorite teachers, his name is David Deida, D-E-I-D-A, someone I worked with for a couple of years very closely, said something once that really struck a bell in my mind. He said, the feminine, now we all have feminine, we all have masculine. Women generally have more feminine than masculine. The feminine mind has a monologue going on all day long that sounds something like this. Do I feel loved right now? Do I not feel loved right now? Do I feel loved? Do I not feel loved? Do I feel cherished? Do I not feel cherished? All day long. For very good reasons, and there are evolutionary reasons why that exists. Because a woman needed to feel connected to a man or to a group, or her very life would be threatened. The masculine mind is very different. So when I teach men how to write to women, I teach them how to write to that mind. Right? To make sure that you show things like cherishment, which men don't think of writing about. You know, they want to talk about scuba diving. When women write men, they have to know what the monologue is in the man's mind. Now, the masculine mind, and again, there's always exceptions and there's matters of degrees, but generally, the masculine mind does not ask a question, do I feel loved? Do I not feel loved? It asks the question, am I winning? Am I losing? You know, why is the masculine mind asking that? Because for most of human history, status meant you got a woman, that you got to live, that you weren't killed by the stronger men in your tribe or group or town or whatever, that you got to raise children. And if you weren't winning in life in some way, you didn't get to have those things. You didn't get to actually survive. It's very primal. And you see it in our common civilized sort of interpretations by the way men try to show status. And, you know, most women, most of us in general, see this as like dumb ego. Oh, they're just being boys. No, they're not. Actually, they're living out a primal need to show that they have resources and show that they have status, because you can't earn a woman unless you have some sort of status. Now, unfortunately, today it's in, you know, fancy cars and fancy watches instead of evolved consciousness, which is much, much more attractive, I think, to women. But we're at a stage of our history as humankind where men are still trying to show some kind of status. So when a man looks at your profile, he's going to ask this one question. Am I going to win with this woman in my life? Will she make me feel like a winner or like a loser? By the way, that's how men process love. A woman can say to a man can say to a woman, I love you, and it could make her year. A woman could say to a man, I love you, and he'll be like, okay, like what does that mean exactly? Whereas if you say to your man, I so deeply admire the man you are and what you stand for. You make me so proud to be your woman. He'll remember that the rest of his life. Because men generally translate appreciation and admiration status as love. So how do we translate this into online profiles, which is kind of my fascination and area of specialty? You have to write to a man's sense of victory. So a man will look at your profile, and he doesn't really care about you yet. He doesn't know you. You're pixels on a page. So you could say something like, speaking to the sense of victory. I love my life. I love my body. I am such a happy human being. It's like these kind of things. And men will start picking up the victories. Oh, she loves her body. That's good. Sex will probably be good. She loves her life. Oh, that's good. That means she's going to probably make my life happier. Let me think of some more. There are 13 of these categories that men kind of boiled it down. And so what happens in a man's mind is this: my life will be better because she's already happy. My life will be better because she is competent. My life will be better because, here's a big one, she has taken the time to think about what it means to be a man and appreciates these qualities in a man. Now, in my book, The Right Man Online, I go through how to write to a man's character. This is how you get the good guy, the right man. You write in specifics the character of the man, not that you like, that you admire, that you appreciate, and here's the big word, that you will reward. So I give you dozens of ways of saying exactly the character qualities and how you'll reward them. You know, it could be something as simple as, what really turns me on, that language wakes up men, what really turns me on is a man who is known among his colleagues or in his community as a leader who's honest and authentic. Whatever the words are important to you, I'm throwing those ones out now. I give a whole list of them. And I want you to really identify what's most important to you. Is it that he plays shuffleboard or that he's known as an honest man? You know, so this is what most women forget to do. They don't write to his character. You can call his character out, but you have to do it in a way that it sounds like a victory to him because you'll reward him. Now, I learned this early on. I don't know if you know this, but I was on a reality show on ABC years ago called How to Get the Guy. I ended up being the guy. And the woman who was the star of the show was trying to find a man who she felt was spiritual but also masculine. She found my profile. This was before I even wrote my book. She found my profile, and listen to what I did. I didn't write about myself. I called her out of the ethers. My profile started like this. This is my profile. I talked about her. I said, "You are inspired and inspiring, vivacious and witty, with a great open-hearted laugh. Joy swims around you. You can't help it," right? And I went on and on like that. She read that live on ABC TV. Now, why did I write those words? Because, damn it, that's the kind of woman I wanted after being with someone who was very depressed for years. You know, she came from a very depressive family. And her joy was there, but she wasn't vibrant, you know? And I really wanted someone vibrant and happy in my life. And sure enough, this woman was exactly that. She wrote to me. I ended up going on the show, which was kind of wild. And we dated for almost a year. And I broke it off for important reasons, but we're still very good friends. I called her out of the ethers. That's what I'm urging everyone on this phone call to do. Put in the work. Like, read the book. Really think about what are the qualities, the character qualities that you admire, because that's what's going to last, right? Playing tennis, walks on the beach, common taste in wine, all very nice and good, but it means nothing for a long-term devotional relationship, because you will love him more over the years because it's his character that will lead, and he will feel devoted to you because he will know that you're committed to the man he is, his character core. And when he has that from you, you know, we're goo. You know, we're putty in your hands if you know how to appreciate and reward the qualities that you value most. So that's like a little overview of how to structure a profile that most women don't think of doing.
Yeah, Adam, I think you said something so profound here that I think very few people, you know unless they are very familiar with your work, which is, you know, you mentioned your profile. You were writing, it's your profile, but you were writing about the woman you wanted. And, you know, all the profiles out there tend to kind of sound samey, unless someone knows this skill. And so I love what you're teaching of, you know, creating something that draws in the kind of man that a woman is looking for. And that requires, you know, a little bit more creativity and deep thinking rather than I like walks on the beach and here's a picture of my cat, right?
Right. Well, the good news is I've done a lot of that creative writing and deep thinking for you. And
yeah, awesome.
Templates to how to do it in language that men actually feel. Yeah, but I agree with you.
Yeah, I just love your take on this. It's very unique.
And you know what? It works.
Yeah, Yeah, I believe it works. And I think that's one thing that so many women are looking for is how they can stand out and how they can, you know, create a profile that is likely to attract, you know, a higher quality response.
Yep. Yep. It's important to really get a grip on, and I give a lot of character qualities. And in the book, one of the things I ask you to do is think about your father. You know, what qualities did you admire about your father? Because chances are those are imprinted on you pretty deeply. And if you could find someone who has the positive qualities without the negative ones, that's a good start. And then just think about the men in your life. Write them down. Who are the men you admire? Whether it's a president or someone in your community or a neighbor or a teacher that you had. Like, really think about what do you admire in men? Because that admiration will culture into love over time more and more deeply. Because that's really what we love about each other, is our character.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. So tell us a little bit more about this concept of the 8 red flags and 8 green flags, because I know for many women, you know, it's a little overwhelming and even sometimes a little frightening to know how to filter kind of the higher quality ones from maybe the ones we want to stay away from.
Right. Well, can I give you a question my girlfriend of 3 years gave me on our first date?
Absolutely.
This isn't in my book. It's in my book. It might be in the book. I might have revised it since then. She asked me, was the first date she made? She texted with me before we met. She wanted to text with me first. That's her system to filter. And I really advise filtering. She texted me, or she said to me, and I honestly don't remember now, but she said, "Has your heart been broken?" I said, That's a strange question to ask. Why do you ask? And she said, "Because I find that men whose hearts haven't been broken tend to break other people's hearts more easily." Now, interesting. I'm not sure that's 100% true. I don't think it's 100% true. I know plenty of men whose hearts have been broken who've gotten angry. And we'll talk about anger. That's one of the filters. But it was a very interesting question. You know, she had really thought about what she wanted, and she had met too many men in L.A., by the way, who were, you know, would just treat people's hearts carelessly. Right? So that was one of her things. So let's talk about red flags and green flags. I love this question. Now, I should preface it by saying I teach about 50,000 men in my community, so I have a lot of experience with men outside of my social circle. So everything from bank presidents and Marine colonels and brain surgeons, literally, to, you know, guys who work in garages and students and divorcees who live with their mothers. So I really know the gamut of men, and I kind of boiled down what I think you should look for who's ready. Like, who's going to make a partner that's engaged with you in the process of this dance of intimacy, that you're always growing together, always learning together, that you're open to each other. That's fun, right? It should be fun. It should be like a pattern of growth rather than a pattern of armoring.
Yeah, so ladies, listen up here. This comes from a lot of wisdom and experience.
Yeah, by the way, my own wisdom and experience, my own growth, because I came a long way. I mean, you know, I did my marriage wrong, I'm sure. I mean, my ex-wife and I have talked about it a lot, saying, yeah, we just did not have the tools back then, before the internet, to really handle these issues. And, you know, conflict resolution, all these things, you can study all these things now. You can get materials like mine or yours or the other experts. You know, people really thinking about this, and it's available. Back in the day, it wasn't so easy. So, first, green flag and red flag. Let's do red flags, and the green flags are pretty much the opposite. So one is, and this is a huge one, if a man has no sense of purpose, you should be wary. So let me explain what that means. I'd be aware of profiles that sound very selfish, that only talk about what he wants, right, that gives no sense of his life in any way in service to others, whether it's his family, his parents, his kids, his community, his work, the world. Is he involved in any charities? If a guy only talks about what he wants, it's a pink flag, let's call it, because he may not have included this other stuff for various reasons. But if he's only talking about what he wants, that's what he's about, okay? He's not a giver. He's more of a taker. So I want you to look. When you read a profile and when you talk to him on the phone before you meet, you should always talk to him on the phone. And by the way, my rule is 2 phone calls, 2 email exchanges, and if you're interested, say, here's my number, give me a call. Get to the phone. No hiding on the computer. So then you say, well, okay, well, you know, tell me about yourself. Like, you know, who do you love in this world? Like, what do you you know, what are you about? What do you stand for? There's ways of asking this, and I talk about that. Or who's your best friend and why? That's a really good question. So listen closely to, and the word is service. How is he in service to anyone else in the world? Does he have a purpose other than, you know, making himself happy and feeding his own ego? The reason you want to do this, besides the fact that he's probably a jerk, is that it's an energy. There's a giving energy and a taking energy. And when I teach men, I teach them there's a poem by Hafiz, who's a Sufi poet from the 13th century. Most people know Rumi. Hafiz was kind of the other great poet of this period. And he has a very short poem, which to me really describes the masculine. And it goes like this. It goes, even after all these years, the sun never says to the earth, you owe me. It just shines. Look what a love like that does. It lights up the entire sky, right? To me, well, the sun is very much the masculine. And a good man, a quality man, gives. He shines. He doesn't shine and say, you owe me, right? If a man has stepped into his kingship archetype, if he's come out of the prince and coming out of the knave and coming out of the knight even, right? It's good to come out of the knight stage as you get into your 40s and beyond. You should really come into your kingship. And a king bestows boon. A king bestows value. So you want to look for a man who is bestowing value. I could be assuming only that many of your listeners are over 40. But in even younger, you want to look for those archetypes, a knight, someone who's in service to somebody else, who's not just a prince. And by the way, never say you're looking for a prince on a white horse. That means nothing to us. It's a horrible, horrible thing to look for, by the way. It's just saying you're looking to be saved. If a man is in his giving phase, if a man is in his giving heart, right? If he has a sense of purpose, a sense of service, and you want to listen for this early on the early phone call, then what he's going to do with you is try to fill that gap of no value, no sense of interior value, by having a woman in his life. Now, that's very dangerous because you can't do that for him. He needs to do that for himself. He has to like himself, which means for a man, he has to be of service to the world in some way. If he doesn't feel that, he's going to be trying to fill a gap with you, and it's absolutely impossible. It might last for a while. It might feel good. He might, you know, cover you with roses and buy you gifts to win you, so then he feels like he has value. But the truth is, in an interior sense, he still doesn't. And it could be a month. It could be a year. It could be 3 years. He's going to end up getting angry at you because, you know, he'll have thought you were the answer to his problems, and clearly you have failed him. Because it's impossible for someone external to fill that internal need for a sense of purpose and value. That's number one.
Right.
Okay? So, and I give you all the ways of looking for clues for how they're in a sense of purpose or service. So I'll give another one. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, red flag, inauthenticity. So it seems obvious, but let me show you how to do that, and it's all in the book. Look out for profiles, and I give examples of the language men use, because I know when a man is faking it, okay? Look for anything that's full of bravado, obviously. If a man expresses no vulnerability, who can't laugh at himself, it means he's guarded, he's got his shields up. And look, we all have our shields up to some level, but I prefer that you find someone whose shields are already a little bit down. He's open to the conversation of growth. I have met women in my dating life who are extraordinary, even famous and beautiful and accomplished, but their shields were so high up because the way it works, by the way, the more beautiful you are, the bigger jerks you tend to attract because looking for that external validation. So most beautiful women, by the way, have had horrible relationships, and they tend to get very guarded by the time they're in their mid-30s. And I remember saying to her, this one I'm thinking of, God, you are fantastic. You're so wonderful in so many ways, but you have about 3 years of work to do before you let your guard down and you're really ready for a relationship. And I said to her, if I was coaching myself, I would say run, right? And it was the truth. And she really got it, and she's doing her work now. So vulnerability. Make sure he's not trying too hard to impress with his accomplishments. The chances are that a guy who's, like, relying on his accomplishments has never really been authentic with a good woman, and he's not leading with his authentic self or his heart, that he's instead covering all that with his accomplishments, hoping that will do it. Okay? Now, so you have to give men some credit, too. You know, it's not, I mean, cut them some slack. They're doing the best they can, you know. they've heard that women want a guy who's accomplished or has a good job, who has resources, which is true, right? Evolutionarily speaking, men with resources got women. Men without resources didn't. So you have to cut him a little slack. So if you sense that he's a good man underneath the bravado, probe a little bit. Get on the phone with him. Ask him, you know, who he loves, what's hurt him, what was the most painful experience of his life. See if he answers these things. You know, a good man will be totally open about it and able to talk about it. Someone who can't talk about it, you know, you're going to have a longer road with him, and 3, 5, 7 years down the line, you're going to feel feeling very lonely in your living room because there's nothing to talk about, okay? So
right. But
you want to be with someone who's not clinging to defending an image of himself. You just want someone who's being himself. So watch out for defensiveness and ask the kind of questions I give that find out, can he talk about his feelings? Can he talk about his interior life? Is he aware of his interior life? A lot of men, you know, I mean, I'm lucky in a lot of ways. My wonderful parents, who were married 51 years, you know, they did 1970s encounter groups, and they put me in a teen encounter group, and it really opened me up to this whole idea that it's safe and it's okay to actually explore your inner world, and it really kind of changed my life, you know? And I love this stuff. And my kids, my sons are amazing at this. They both write love songs, by the way. They write beautiful songs and publish them. So that's another one. Another one to look out for is kind of boredom / passivity. Anytime a man says he hopes for the best, or he hopes something's going to come through, or he's in a job he hates, or he's bored of his life, or in any way that he's passive, that he's seen to, you know, waiting to see what life will bring him, big warning flag for the same reason I mentioned before. He's looking for you to fill a gap in his self-worth, okay? So watch out for that. Watch out for men who are defeatists. I had a long talk last night here on the beach in the Caribbean with this one, call him Thor. He was a football player in college, but not a big, beefy one, just a really sculpted, good-looking dude with blonde hair down to his shoulders, right? I mean, he's the best-looking guy on the island. And we had a really long talk because he's very defeatist about women. He doesn't believe that women can add anything to his life. And we had a long talk about where those beliefs came from, and I think I cracked him open a little bit. I hope so. But he was very defeatist. So you got to watch out for anyone who says anything negative about women. That's another big one, all right? That's kind of the next one. If someone says anything negative about women, obviously, if he uses the word bitch or blames his ex-wife for his marriage, I tell men, by the way, on dates, I said, I don't care how you feel about your marriage or your broken-up relationship. If somebody asks you, tell me about your last relationship. Great question, by the way. Listen to how he answers. Not even the content, but how he answers. If he blames her, this is not an evolved man. He's someone who's gonna blame you for his experience. I tell men to say one very nice thing about their partner and say it didn't work out because I felt she was this, she felt I was that. If there's any kind of reciprocity, that's a really good sign. In my case, there was, you know, she was a wonderful mother for little kids, but we very much wanted different kinds of lives. Now, that's a nice way of saying a bunch of other things, but I knew enough not to go around blaming her because I was in therapy through the breakup, and I really learned to take responsibility. So you want to find a guy who takes responsibility, who doesn't show anger. Showing anger at women, showing blame at their ex, red flag, and you can raise it. If they say, well, she was a bitch, or she was angry, or she was screwed up, you can say something like this, and I would. I really would, because why waste time? Say something like, you know, it's funny. I've discovered that anytime I've been angry at somebody, you know, somehow I helped create that situation. You know, that there were two parties at it, and even though I felt in the right, I knew that I was also to blame. Do you feel like, you know, what do you feel? Like, do you feel like, how are you responsible for creating that situation? See what he says. If he says, you know what, I picked her, so I'm responsible. That's a good start. He's taking responsibility. I pity people who are in relationships with man or woman who can't take responsibility for creating their own lives. We all create our lives by making decisions. Even if we make the decision to be with someone who hurts us, we made that decision. Our responsibility, not their fault. Okay? Now it's your decision to move on. So you want to listen for taking responsibility and not blaming. Huge one. Please, watch out for that. Another red flag, financially irresponsible, right? Beware of a guy who flaunts his money or talks about how he's going to treat you like a princess and all this stuff, because what he's doing is he's on replacing his character, his heart, with money. He's letting the money do the talking for him, right? He's hoping he's going to win you that way. It's a substitute for being a human being. So be wary of the guy who spends way too much. And by the way, as a man who has dated a lot, it's nice to hear from a woman, I want to get to know you. We don't have to go to someplace fancy. Let's just go someplace quiet. We can talk and have a bite. You know, believe me, it gets really expensive dating, especially in L.A.
Yeah.
And it shows that you don't care about, I mean, I'm sure you care about the money. We all care about security. But it shows that you care about who he is. And a good man, I consider myself one of them, would go, wow, I like this person. She cares about me. She doesn't care about my money. And in a way, she's kind of taking care of me already by saying, don't spend all your money. Let's see if we like each other first. Right? So that's nice. A man will value that with you. So watch out for a guy who leads with money. That's always a problem. Want some more?
yeah, we'd love some more.
Yeah, I love this stuff. This is a big one for me, and this is maybe a little advanced, but not really, I don't think, anymore. But be wary of a man who's turned off by being curious about male-female dynamics. All right? Most women, after divorce or as they get to their 30s and they want to learn more, 40s and beyond, they'll read books. They'll read John Gray. They'll read Alison Armstrong. They'll read me. They'll read you. They'll go and buy books. They'll watch documentaries. They'll read. Like, how do men work? Like, well, how does their mind work? What can I do to be a better partner? How can I understand men better? Now, if you ask them, what's the best book you've ever read about, you know, personal development or emotional depth or, you know, relationships, people, I wouldn't read a book on relationships. Well, that's kind of a red flag because men need to do work as well as women, all right? So if you find that a man has read some books and he can talk articulately about, you know, books about what it is to become a man. Michael Chabon has a great one. You know, there's all the old Iron John ones. There's The Way of the Superior Man by David Deida, the teacher I mentioned before. There are a number of wonderful books. Eckhart Tolle, you know, so many good books about what does it mean to be a sensitive, aware, compassionate, you know, engaged human being. If a guy's reading those books, that's a good sign, okay? If he's nothing but those books and he has for the last 20 years and he's still a narcissist, that's a problem. But somewhat, he should be interested in what makes a relationship work, right? And
right.
I think it's a great idea. I used to do, back when there were bookstores, back in the 19th century, one of my favorite dates was, let's go meet at a bookstore, and I'll go grab my 5 favorite books, you go grab your 5 favorite, and let's read passages to each other. Now, what a great date that is, because you learn about what's important to them. So if I showed up with, you know, Eckhart Tolle and Jack Kornfield, who's a wonderful teacher, and David Deida and, you know, Rumi, and she showed up with People magazine, Us magazine, Cosmopolitan magazine, and the Justin Bieber story, I would know that we're not real. So it's a great date. If you live near a bookstore, suggest it. You know, if he doesn't have any favorite books, I don't even know what to tell you. But it's a great way to find out what's important to him. So look for a guy who's interested in man-woman dynamics. And by the way, I think it's a great idea once you're dating, after a couple of months, they might want to suggest, hey, why don't we both read a book and see how we feel about it, you know, some relationship book. And just to, not as a competition or not to train him, but to talk about relationship because, you know, the issues will come up. Whether it's 3 months or 6 months or 6 years or 10 years or 20 years, the issues will come up. So it's better to know how to handle them from the beginning. So that's one. I'll give one more. I feel like my throat is going dry. So I like this one a lot too. This is something kind of subtle, but it's worth looking for. Is he driven by love or is he driven by fear? Now, what does that mean? Those are basically our two, you know, we have a erotic drive and a death drive is how Freud put it. But we're driven by fear primarily because that's how we survive. So our initial reactions will often be fear-driven. But as evolving human beings, we can actually choose to make our choices from a place of love and generosity and compassion rather than by fear. So generally you want a guy who's driven by love more than fear. So how do you see this in profiles? Or in those first conversations over dinner? When men claim that they've been cheated or disappointed or, again, blaming others or have bad luck. That's someone who's kind of driven by fear. He sees the world as a hostile place. By the way, you're part of the world. So if he sees the world as a hostile place, he may be sucking up to you now because you're pretty and you're showing cleavage, but eventually you're going to fade into the rest of the world and he's going to be angry at you and blame you for not being perfect in his worldview, right? He's driven by it's really important to see. Like, where was it? Hang on now. I was on a date, I was on a date with a woman. I was really taken by her online, and we met, and she just started making the most acidic comments about everyone in her life, and I saw it as like a sniper rifle shooting everybody down, and even though she liked me, and even though things were going fine, I remember thinking to myself, that gun is going to point at me one day, because that's how she treats the world. So watch out for that. The opposite thing you want to look for is someone who sees the good in others and who's compassionate. You know, there's a great phase. People do the best with what they have, right? Everyone's doing the best they can with what they know. You know, you can't blame people for being unevolved if they've never learned better. Once they learn a little better, then they can be more compassionate and communicative. So the kind of guy you want to look for is someone who sees the good in people, who is compassionate and says, you know, they may not be, you know, what I want them to be, but they're doing the best they can, or that's where they are in life, and that's okay. I'm not going to blame them for it. I'm just going to work with it. Now, that's a great leader, by the way, is someone who accepts the world the way it is and moves the cards around or moves the chess pieces around or works his employees so that everything works to the best possible way. You don't play chess and you're angry that you don't have, you know, 16 queens. Right?
Right.
Yeah, you have pieces and you play them. My dad told me this all the time. You're dealt cards and you play them the best you can, and that's life. A good man, and most of the men I know understand that. The ones who are dangerous for you are the ones who are angry that the world isn't the way they want it, which is, you know, in psychological terms often called the armchair tyrant. You know, the high chair tyrant. It's a childish phase. So you want to watch out for people who are angry at the world, because that will turn on you, and that's fear. You want someone who's driven by love and who handles issues as they arise with equanimity and solidity and steadiness. So those are some of the red flags and green flags to get started. I have more.
Thanks, Adam. I wonder if I can ask you just another couple of questions here. I'm wondering if you can share with us. I know one thing that is expressed to me frequently with many of my clients is, you know, how they protect their safety and how they can be careful about, you know, some of the fraudsters or scammers or, you know, downright, thieves that might be on some of the online websites. Do you have any ideas on that?
Yes. It's not as endemic as you would think. It's pretty rare, but of course it's, you know, sensational. When it happens, it gets in the news. So some basic rules. Number one, never send money to anybody, ever. I don't care, okay? I don't care who they are, how much you've been talking on the phone. Do not ever send money to anyone, ever. I have known women. There's a woman I know in Los Angeles. She was not the most attractive, you know, when she met someone online and he was perfect and he was charming and he was English and he was on an island doing some oil work and they talked every night, better and better and better. And he was going to come visit her. Sure enough, at some point he asked for money. I don't remember exactly what it was for, but it all made sense with his story. And she called me and she said, should I do it? And I'm like, no! And of course it was a total scammer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's beyond the first rule, is never, ever, ever send money. Okay, spend money. If he says, I know another woman who's actually pretty savvy, who met a guy online who was in England, and he says, you know, you buy the ticket and I'll give you the money when I get here because my credit card's something stupid, right? She went ahead and bought the ticket. Guess what? She never got her money back. Okay? And she got there and they had pizza and he lived in a tiny apartment. He said he had a house and it went on and on. Okay? So don't spend money. If you're going to visit each other, make sure he's paying. Okay? Now, that's so fundamental. I'm sorry I even have to talk about it.
Yeah, but it's so important.
It makes me crazy. These are the more common things that you need to do. One, never give your last name. Okay? So you know somebody. Never have him pick you up on a first date at your place, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You meet in a public place where the people are around, restaurant, cafe, you know, something like that. Public garden, where there are people around. Do not give him your address. Do not tell him where you work. Okay? Tell him the kind of work you do. If he asks, say, well, we'll get to that later. But I'm a nurse, or whatever it is. Leave it at that. Right? Don't give him any information where he can find you and identify you. That's very, very important. I also would, this is one that nobody knows. Don't use professional headshots. Why? Because any savvy man or woman knows that a professional headshot you can drop into Google search and identify a person because it's identified somewhere else. So if you've got your nice professional headshot, don't use that. Okay?
Yeah.
So you can find out everything about somebody. And there's a lot of reasons. It's not just people who are going to scam you for money. They can learn everything about you, and you'll go like, oh, my God, he was psychic. He knew everything about me. He was, oh, my, he was the one. No, he researched it on Google. So get photos taken. Get professional photos taken. You can do that on Craigslist. It's cheap these days. You know, $80, $100, or go to lookbetteronline.com. Get shots taken, but not your professional headshots. Right? Now, theoretically, they can still identify you from that picture, but it's much, much harder. But if you use a headshot that's used elsewhere, it's much easier. So there's that. No, don't give your name. Don't give your place of work. Meet in a public place. Don't let him drive you home. And pay attention to his concern for your safety. When I teach men, I said there are four things a woman has to feel in your presence. Safe, sexy, special, and feminine. And safety is about 70% of it, emotionally and physically safe. Pay attention to how he makes you feel safe. I teach my men crossing a threshold, entering a staircase, stepping over a curb, take her arm, hand around, you know, just protect her. Like, get between her and a dog coming down the street. Like, is he attentive to your body? No, I have an unfair advantage because I had two wild boys running around all the time, and I was always, like, pulling them out of traffic. But I'm very aware of my threats. So it really, I'm not even kidding, it's been a huge advantage in my dating life because I'm naturally attentive because I've been a dad for so long. So does he take care of your safety? I will say, for example, if I'm online and I like a woman, I said, I would like to call you. Here's my number if you're more comfortable calling, if you don't want to give out your number. But if you are, I'm happy to do the chivalrous thing and call first. So I show very early on that I'm considerate of their safety. So look for that in guys.
I love that. Those were some really valuable tips. And I'd just like to ask you one additional question before we tell the listeners about the generous free gift that you're offering for the Telesummit. And that is that, you know, I know there are women out there who've either, you know, they feel like they've tried the online thing, or on the other hand, there are women out there who are still resistant to trying the online thing. And I'm just wondering what, you know, thoughts you have centered around that.
Right. Okay. So my mom will not use a computer. She's 84. We've got several computers. We've set them up. We've given her a Facebook page. She resists. She likes to read. So she's resistant to technology. Everyone's got their own thing, right, about technology.
Right.
If you want to find a man and a partner, you are nuts not to go online. Why? Right now, it's about 19% of all marriages start online. Something like 50% of relationships start online or more. But the big one is one out of five marriages now start online. It's how people communicate these days. The world has shifted. In the early 2000s, you know, it was weird. It felt weird. It's not weird anymore. Something like 67% of all singles are online. I say this, and I want really everyone to listen super carefully. It takes one man, one person, to make online dating successful. Okay? That means you have to filter really carefully the way I show you in the book, how to filter for character and how to call out the man of character I described and to use language that really turns men on. You have to filter through them. The better you filter, the less nonsense you have to deal with. Women who aren't specific about the setting a moral bar high, they'll hear from any guy who's going to take a shot. You know, hey, she's got cleavage, she likes a cat, I like cats. If I talk about cats, maybe I'll get laid. Right? If that's what you talk about, they're going to go for it. But if you set the bar high, right, then you're going to start filtering out a lot of that wasted time and white noise. If you have nice cleavage, you'll still hear from all those guys. But not all of them. But, you know, you will have white noise, and that's okay. But don't pay attention to it. And that's my huge, huge piece of advice. Let it go. Let all the noise go of people who are not nice, of guys who are angry or guys who are rude. Don't worry about it. Don't not find your man because you're worrying about the non-men that you don't want. Just let it go. Let it pass over you. Stay focused and work it. Work the online system because that's where the guys are. Because they're coming home from work at the end of the day, and they don't know where to go. They don't want to go to a bar and meet some bar girl. They want to really find a partner. Where do you go? Think about it, right? You go
right.
to a bar. You go to a meetup, which, by the way, I really love. Go to meetups. Or you go to a matchmaker, but there's really not that many choices. And then there's the whole happenstance thing. Maybe you'll meet, you know, you'll reach for the same book, like Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal in some movie, right? Like maybe that will happen. And you'll meet cute. And that's it's a disease in our culture that we all want that magical meet cute. Whereas, in fact, to find the right person for you takes perseverance and intelligence and persistence. So treat it like a business. Treat it like working out. Because if you stick with it, you will meet the right guy. But don't let the noise of the wrong guys get you down. That's the important thing. I know a lot of women have a hard time because they get bombarded and with the wrong guys. Just erase, erase, erase. They don't know you. You don't know them. If they're rude, report them to the service. But don't let it get to you. Just don't let it get to you. Stay focused. Look for the right man and drop a little hanky on their profile and say, you know, I read your profile and it really caught my attention. What I especially appreciate or admire, pick one of those words, it's in the book, I have lots of examples, is the way you talk about your sister, the way you talk about your kids, the way you talk about your work. You're the kind of man of character I'm really looking for. Please have a look at my profile. And if you like what you see, let's have a conversation. You know, nice and easy, not a big pitch, but let him know that you admire something important about who he is as a man.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I love your perspective that it only takes one right guy and you don't have to put up with all this nonsense, but don't lose your opportunity because you're afraid of, you know, the people that may show up or may not have shown up thus far.
Mm-hmm.
So I love your perspective on that. So, Adam, I know that you have generously offered to give a complimentary gift to the listeners of the Telesummit, and throughout the call today you've referred to your book, The Right Man Online, and I know that you've offered to give the first chapter of The Right Man Online to our listeners, and I can't think of any reason, ladies, why you wouldn't want to do this. So I'm highly recommending that you take Adam up on his generous offer and wisdom. He's obviously got a lot of research and wisdom and experience that has gone into this book, and I think that it will be invaluable to you. So in order to take advantage of this wonderful gift, please go to www.readyfortherightguy.com/Adam, A-D-A-M. So one more time, readyfortherightguy.com/Adam. And you'll also be able to learn how to get the full book. And you very well may want to take advantage of that opportunity as well so that you can really create the most attractive and magnetizing profile to bring in the best candidates to possibly find the right man for you. Anything else you want to say about that, Adam?
Wow, you said that really well. I was sold.
You're sold. True. I'm sold, too.
No, you said that beautifully. Look, it's like anything else. If you want something, you have to work for it. And why not put your time and energy into being really smart and really strategic and doing this right and save yourself years of heartbreak and waste of time. So I'm totally with you. I love online dating if it's done right. If it's done wrong, it's horrifying.
Right. So yeah, let's get the tools and resources to, you know, to do it as effectively and as strategically, as Adam says, as you can. And I'll let you, in just a minute, Adam, I'll let you kind of just give us some final thoughts or final words or any final words of encouragement that you want to share with the ladies. But first, I just want to thank all of our participants for being here with us today. Adam and I both know that life is busy, and so we congratulate you for taking what you stand for, taking a stand for what you really want in your life by making the time for this. So, any last words of encouragement or thoughts that you would like to share, Adam, as a parting note?
Huh. Well, yeah, I mean, just let me speak for the men for a second. You know, there's creepy guys, of course, and there's angry women, of course, but most of the men that I work with and I've seen and that I know are dying for somebody to love and who will love them back.
Oh.
It's really true. They're so lonely. Men tend to be more lonely than women because we don't have webs of a connection as much as you do. And you know, the teacher Data, who I mentioned, he put it very strongly. He said, women don't just make men's life better, they give us a reason to live. And there's a real truth there. For most men, if they don't feel like they're in service, which is why I talk about service so much, to their woman, you know, it's just everything's kind of dry and arid and random. But if they have a woman who loves them and appreciates them and rewards them for being the good man that they really want to be, then your life feels very, very full. So I just want you to know how much men, the good men, are really looking for someone who will love them for who they are, make them wiser with your wisdom, and make their world alive and luscious and real and sensual and a place of beauty rather than just a place of numbers.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that male perspective with us, because I think sometimes as women, you know, we see men as being so strong and self-sufficient and invulnerable, and it's not the case, right?
They're dying inside. They just don't show it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, yeah. I think that's really beautiful that you shared that. And I just want to remind all of the listeners that during the Telesummit, the Ready for the Right Guy Telesummit, you're going to have access to the best wisdom from over 20 love and relationship experts. You'll be able to hear the broadcasts, and then the replays will be available for 48 hours after each interview. However, knowing that life is busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package and purchase the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews. You can listen at your own convenience and have access to these calls in your own personal audio library. And I think this is such a great idea, because literally one idea that you get from the Telesummit can open up a whole new world of possibilities and can give you the potential to transform what is possible in your love life. And we are offering event pricing for the VIP upgrade at readyfortherightguy.com/ready for $97 during the Telesummit. I want to thank you all so much for being here with us today. I want to especially thank our guest, Adam, once again, and I look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. And Adam and I are both sending you lots of love, blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye. Thank you, everybody.